One of the many things that we have in common is that we're all children at one time in our lives. As we grew, we began to realize what it took for our parents to care for us in this physical world. And as we grew even older and became parents, we truly realized the seriousness that was involved in caring for our own children. I can recall the level of seriousness that occurred in my life when I was married. But when I had children, that level of seriousness just seemed to go through the roof. I was no longer caring for just my wife and I, but I was caring for little children that were completely dependent on me for all their needs. You know, when it comes to taking care of our children, we'll do everything to supply for their physical needs. Healthy meals for growing bodies, a roof over the head, a place that they can call home, to give them decent clothes on their back, the best medical care possible. We'll do everything to supply for their emotional needs, giving them proper confidence, self-esteem, giving them a positive attitude in life. We'll do everything to supply for their intellectual needs, communication and conversational skills, social skills, and the best education possible. Our children are so special to us in so many different ways. Aside from the fact that we'll do everything to care for their physical, emotional, and intellectual needs, we also like to see our children carry on our family name. We love to watch our family tree grow. I think it's every parent's goal to look back and to see a healthy and happy family. We hope that our children, our grandchildren, and even our great-grandchildren will have all the things that they need in life. Also, our children carry on our family traditions, the very traditions that bring our families together, traditions that they can pass on to their children, and their children can pass on to their children. We would never do anything to harm them. We watch over them constantly. Even a single scratch on the arm or leg is cause for alarm from a caring parent. So it becomes astonishing and utterly shocking when we come across a story of a mother or father who has committed the most unspeakable act possible. I'm talking about parents who kill their own children. Andrea Yates woke one morning, and she filled her bathtub full of water, and within 1 hour, she killed all five of her children. Mary, 6 months old, Luke, 2 years old, Paul, 3 years old, and John, 5 years old. And finally, her oldest son, Noah, whom she had to chase around the entire house before dragging him into that bathroom and submerging his head into the water. As he grasped for air, he breathed his last breath when he said, "Mommy, I'm sorry." When asked, Andrea responded by saying, "I'm a bad mother, and killing my children would save them from hell." We've also heard stories of fathers who kill their children. Christian Longo was facing some serious financial struggles in his life and felt that he had nowhere to turn. Instead of doing what any normal person would do in this situation, Longo felt the only answer was to kill all his children along with his wife. Longo took his two children and stuffed them into sleeping bags and weighed them down with their own cartoon pillowcases, went to the nearest bridge, and threw them off the bridge and into the river, only later to be discovered by the Oregon authorities. You know, we've all heard stories like this, and each time it's just as horrifying and despicable as the last. But I'm here to tell you the Bible is not without counts of parents who kill. If you open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 11, we come face to face with the wicked queen, Athaliah. And to give you a little background about Athaliah, Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel of Israel and the wife of Jehoram, king of Judah. Athaliah followed the path set by her parents, and in turn, she influenced her husband to walk in the ways of the king of Israel and worship Baal, 2 Kings 8:18. She proved to be just as dedicated to paganism as her mother Jezebel. An overall view of the text, which we don't have the time to do this morning, will show that Athaliah was a powerful influence on her husband as well as her sons. They enthusiastically adopted her faith and her wicked ways. Let's read verse 1 together. "When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs." Notice there's no indication whatsoever of Athaliah mourning over the loss of her son. She arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. It's important for us to know at this point that we're talking about Athaliah's very own grandchildren. Verse 2, "But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. Verse 3. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Hebrews 7:14 tells us, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Athaliah attempted to destroy the seed royal, which was the very line of Judah. If it was not for the saving of Joash, the lineage of Christ would have been terminated. But we can see the providence of God at work here as we see the lineage of Christ continues on. Let's jump over to verse 13 now. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. 14. When she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar according to the custom, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason, treason." Verse 20. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. So we come to the end of the story of Athaliah, a woman that was evil beyond comprehension, a woman that was able to influence her children in so many evil ways, a woman that was capable of taking her very own grandchildren and destroying them for her own selfish and, again, her evil ways. Just another horrifying account of a parent who is capable of killing their children. Not a single one of us is capable of committing such a horrific act. Or are we? That's the question I'd like to pose to you this morning. Listen now, brethren, are we not killing our own children when we refuse to teach them the words of God? When we fail to teach our children the word of God, we are killing our children spiritually. We need to stop and think that as parents, we may be the ones that are keeping our children from receiving everlasting life. Or on the opposite end, we may be the ones contributing to their eternal suffering. As I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, we pay such close attention to the physical. But what about the spiritual? Brethren, we're losing 60 to 90% of our children after they leave the home. And it becomes obvious that we're doing something wrong. The percentage of our children being lost to the world is just way too high to be normal. We've got to bear in mind that as soon as our children leave the home, we're going to lose a significant amount of influence over them. When our children leave the home, the world could potentially take over as their teacher and their tutor. We cannot stand to lose any more children. If you open your Bibles to Hosea 4:6, we'll read that verse together. And it says there, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Are we giving our children the best sneakers while forgetting to teach them about the spiritual death that is eternal? Eternal death that involves fire, Mark 9:44. Eternal death that involves darkness, 2 Peter 2:4. Eternal death that involves torment, Revelation 14:11. Eternal death that involves gnashing of teeth, Matthew 8:12. Are we giving our children the best gadgets and electronics while forgetting to teach them about the spiritual life and rewards that are eternal? No tears in heaven. It's a song that we often sing. A song that as we sing, we should be teaching our children. The glory of God in Christ. Eternal bliss. Seeing God face to face. Seeing and thanking Jesus face to face someday for what he has done for us. You know, when we fail to teach our children the word of God, we are killing them spiritually, but we're also destroying our Christian lineage. Recall the character of Athaliah. She did her very best to destroy the lineage of David, which was ultimately the lineage of Christ. Athaliah was evil and was only concerned about her own power and had no concern for the children that followed her family line. Let's think about our Christian lineage. If we're only concerned for our own life without any regard for our children's spirituality, we will leave behind a legacy of destruction. But wouldn't it be great to leave this earth knowing that our lineage is in the care of the Almighty and not in the hands of the world? You know, one of my goals in life, this may sound a little silly, but it's to take a family photograph. When I get old in age, I'd like to take a picture of my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, Lord willing, and to step back and look at that picture knowing that everyone in that picture is a worker in the kingdom of God. You know, when we fail to teach our children the Word of God, we are killing our children spiritually. We're destroying our Christian lineage, but we're also teaching our children to worship the world. You can only serve one master. If you open your Bibles to Matthew 6:24. And it says, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Your child is going to eventually serve someone or something. What do you want your, or who do you want your child to serve? If we look at the text, Jesus employs the word cannot, which means this simply, we cannot serve two masters. We can only serve one master. If we allow our children to grow up and serve the world, Jesus says that we will hate and despise our Heavenly Father. Let's turn over to Romans 6:16. Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, spoke these words when he said, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Can you imagine spending your entire life serving the repulsive nature of sin? You know, as the prodigal son left his father and his home, do you think he set out to live and eat with a swine? You know, I don't think so. But nevertheless, he did choose and he reaped the consequences of his choice. But we have to remember the world has terrible aspirations for our children. If we don't act now, the world will take our children and chew them up and spit them out back out again. As I mentioned before, we'll do everything to supply for our children's physical needs. We'll do everything to supply for our children's emotional needs. We will do everything to supply for our children's intellectual needs. But we need to act now and do everything we can to supply for our children's spiritual needs. In conclusion, let's open our Bibles one last time to Proverbs chapter 3. As we read verses 1 through 6, let's take notice to Solomon's admonition to his son. Verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." When we think of supplying for our children's spiritual needs, let's remember three simple words: believe, bind, and benefit. Let's all say those together. Believe, bind, and benefit. Believe, the first word. We must teach our children to believe what the Lord teaches, that the authority of God lies in his word, the Bible, that in order to love Jesus, our children must keep his commandments. We must teach our children the laws of God are inflexible and demonstrate this by the rules we enforce in our homes. The second word, bind. Three times in the book of Proverbs, we see the word bind. Each time it's connected with the neck, heart, and fingers. To bind commandments about the neck, write them on the heart, or tie them onto the fingers means that the child must learn to incorporate the laws into his own life. He must choose to make them a permanent fixture in his own mind. He must form his independent desire to serve the Lord. And then finally, the word benefit. Children must be taught the benefit of trusting the Lord. We must teach them that he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. That if they are obedient to God, that someday they may hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Matthew 25:21. Just remember those three words: believe, bind, and benefit. When we think of people like Andrea Yates or Christian Longo or even Queen Athalie, we wonder as parents, what would possess a parent to go to such evil extents? As parents, we go to every extent to keep our children from getting into harm's way. But what are we doing to our children if we fail to teach them God's word? Think of the consequences of allowing our children to live a life without God. The crimes that Andrea, Christian, and Athalie committed are nothing short of atrocious. But the crime of refraining to teach our children the word of God is the crime that is worst of all. Yeah.